today I have this impossible task of going through the book of Joshua. It's not impossible, but you would leave before I finished. So the book of Joshua has four main parts. They enter into the promised land. That's 1 through 5. There's 6 through 12. And I don't know if you read it this week, you're just like, okay, and then there's this battle and there's this battle and there's these details. And then there's the dividing up of the land. And they say, okay, this tribe, you're over here, you're over here, you have this. And then the book ends with Joshua giving this speech of a call to faithfulness, which is important because I think sometimes we think we arrive in places. And I remember, even this last week in Liberia, we sat down with the leaders and just said, we're the same three guys that were sitting in the dirt in the village, all right? We're the same three guys. And we need to continue to just be faithful to what God is calling us to do. We don't actually arrive, all right? Well, when you do, well, it'll be a whole lot different. It'll look like Revelation 21. So, but rather than covering all of Joshua, I'm just not even going to try to do the impossible. I'm going to read from the first chapter and the last chapter and see what kind of application we have for us today. So, if you have Bibles, I'm going to be at Joshua chapter 1. It will be up there. There's Bibles and the seat cushions in front of you. And if you need a Bible, you don't own one, take that one home. Nobody will consider it stealing. If they stop you at the door, come see me. So Joshua chapter 1, it says, beginning verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. God's just like really direct here. Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land that I am giving them to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given to you, just as I have promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river and the river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, towards going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. That's an incredible promise, and that's an incredible reminder. And there's this reminder that it's not easy. The journey's not ever easy, right? And sometimes we forget that God works within the struggle, right? It's within that struggle. And I even talked about that with the leaders there. I mean, we started ministry on a shoestring. It was my shoestring and my brother's, and things were going, but there was joy and there's growth in the journey. And we need to realize that God does not leave us. He does not forsake us when we follow his plans. And he says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous. When God repeats himself, it's not because he has dementia. It's because we have short-term memories. And so he says, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all, key word, all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or the left. I think sometimes we're like, as long as we stay over here on this side, it doesn't matter what ditch you go into, right? The right ditch, the left ditch, it doesn't matter. But he says, do not turn from it to the right hand or the left hand, that you may have success, good success, wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful. So I meditate on it, so I may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then, so if I do this, if then, for then, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Yes, this third time. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, towards the end of his life, Joshua left this challenge, and this challenge is really for those that think we've arrived, and he gives this speech. It's a kind of a thus saith the Lord. You know, sometimes in the Bible, you know, Paul will say, hey, this is my opinion. All right, this isn't my opinion. This is a thus saith the Lord, that those that would carry on God's mission, because the mission's always bigger than us. And so Joshua 24, it says, God speaking, he says, I gave you the land which you have not labored, and the cities which you have not built, and you dwell in them. You know what that sounds like? Grace, right? We didn't do anything for our salvation, all right? We had not labored for that. We didn't build it. And he says, and you eat fruit of the vineyards and the olive gardens that you did not plant. God's a reminder that he's providing. It's his grace. And he says, now, therefore, because of that, fear the Lord and serve him in all sincerity and faithfulness. And then here's an action point. He says, put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. All right? Turn from your idols. Turn from the gods that your ancestors served. And he says, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord... You know, if you're going, well, I really don't want to serve God. He says, if that's evil, he says, choose this day whom you will serve. And he wants them to make a choice, whether it's the God of your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in the land which you dwell. I remember this passage really speaking to me in college, because I would go in and out of these Christian circles and they would put me in charge of stuff, and I've never wanted to be in leadership and in the church and whatever, and they just kept putting me in charge of these things. But I remember reading this passage and I felt like I was saying, Don, you pursue this, you pursue this, you pursue this. You need to make a choice. Are you going to serve the living God? Are you going to pursue what the world has for you here? And then he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's saying, we've made a decision. This is what we're going to do. And then the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who did great signs in our sight and preserved us all in the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we have passed. Now, there's a reality that that there's major events in our life, right, where we experience unknown territory, in the sense like maybe you can remember moving out of your parents' house at some point, and you realize like, hey, that food that's in the cupboards, it gets there somehow, and you know, all these different things. Or maybe when you first got married, it's like, okay, this is going to be different. Or maybe you could relate to this one. You leave the hospital with a newborn baby, and you're like, they seriously let us walk out of here with this. And there's that moment where you're like, I am in charge of another human being. Like this person's life is dependent upon what we do. You're like, okay, am I up for this? Am I ready? And I wondered, put yourself in Joshua's shoes, sandals, whatever. This is big. This isn't like a child. This isn't a single nation. It's not even just Israel, but it's God's redemptive plan. And he's like, okay, I'm going to have you lead the people. You're like, is there anybody else? I mean, you've got someone else? And we need to remember that there's this promise to Abraham. It's flowing through the story that through the seed of Abraham, all nations on earth will be blessed. And he's now saying, Joshua, he's saying, okay, now you need to walk the people into the promised land. Now, here's what the Bible says about his predecessor. He's like, okay, you're in charge now. Well, I mean, God's in charge, but you're the human being that's going to lead. And Deuteronomy, it says this about Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses. Like, really? I got to follow this guy? Whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all the servants and to all his land. And for all the mighty power and the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all of Israel. Like, are you serious? I remember many years ago, I talked with this deacon board, and they were in the other room praying to make a decision if I was going to become the pastor. And I'm sitting in that room like somewhat terrified. And I'm like, somebody's got to go back in there and warn them. This guy's a knucklehead. And they're praying about making him the pastor. And they did. And I think in this situation, you know, you got to think, are you kidding me? I got to follow up Moses? I got to lead the people in the promised land? Like, Lord, I spent 40 years in the desert with these people. I know what they're like. And now you want me to go into this land and lead them. They're not the easiest bunch to deal with. And Joshua knew this too. We're going into a land. They've got better tools. They've got better weapons. We are outnumbered. All right? We're in trouble here. And from a human standpoint, you look at that. The odds are not in his favor. Vegas is not going to be betting on him here, all right? And so how does Joshua succeed? Now, before we answer that question, I want to remind us that when we read the Bible, there are certain things that are unique to that time and that space and that moment, and that was for those people. And then there are kind of timeless things. Like don't read this passage and go, Pastor, we need to go out and fight the Canaanites today. Okay? We're gonna, all right, you're not called to go out and fight the Canaanites. But I think there are things where we look at and we go, this is very relevant, because I'm keenly aware of a couple things. Just as they had to go into the land where there's giants, that's what the Bible called them, that there were giants in there. We face our own giants today. We also face a world that is deeply divided. And when I say that, I wish with all my heart that I was talking about out there and not the church. I wish that. I wish that we were united. And I wish we would see that sin and evil is something that runs through human hearts. All right? And good and evil. But I feel like we live in a time where we divide it. It's like, okay, this group, they do all the right things. They have all the truth. This group, they do all the bad things, right? Everything they do. And then we ask questions. Like, do you follow this leader or do you follow that leader? And Joshua's going to have something to say about that. And the early church even did that, right? They're like, hey, we're of Apollos, you know, we're of this group, and there's something wrong. Do you align with that? And you know what I've come to figure out? God doesn't line up with my social constructs. doesn't line up with our social constructs. It's not like God's like, oh yeah, that's right, they're the good guys. Oh, they're the bad guys. doesn't do that. In fact, Joshua is in Jericho, and it says when Joshua was in Jericho, this is Joshua 5, he lifted his eyes and looked up, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. Now, I imagine that. I understand that. I'm going to look up, and I'm like, that guy's got a sword. Is he one of us? Or is he one of them? Because I'm in trouble if he's one of them. If he's one of us, everything's cool. And it says, and Joshua went up to him and said, are you for us or our adversaries? And it's funny, it says, and he said, no. He's like, no. Scratch your social construct. Scratch your understanding of how the world works. He's like, no. But I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. And that's a good thing. That's where you go, okay. I'll tell a story here. I had some odd jobs in my life. One time I was a bouncer at this place. And there was a bunch of guys that came up to us and I'm looking like, oh, things are going to go down and this is not good. And some guy walked up to me. It's like the biggest man I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen some big people. And he says, if anything goes down, I want a piece of it. And I'm like, just tell me what side you're on, my friend. And we are to, I think that's where you go. When the Lord God comes, you go, whatever you're doing, Lord, I don't care what these people are doing. I don't care what these people are doing. I want whatever you want. And a few weeks ago, I talked about how the world is always asking us, whose side are you on? Are you with them? Do you identify? Do you wear this label? Do you wear that label? And the kingdom of God doesn't ask what side you are on, but whose king you are under. Okay? Are we under the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? Do we follow Jesus Christ? It's not a matter of, is God on my side? But have I submitted myself to the to his authority? Is it his kingdom? My citizenship is in heaven, okay? My citizenship is in the kingdom of God. There's kingdoms that, and just read history. Kingdoms rise, kingdoms fall. There's one kingdom that is going to last forever. And we need to be a kingdom people. We need to know who we are. We need to constantly be reminded we are a kingdom people. We follow Jesus. You know, that question of whose side are you on? Not real simple. Okay? I'm on Jesus' side. All right? And I'll see that. And here's a reality in a changing world. Leadership changes. Context changes. Cultures change. But the mission always remains the same, right? We're to be a kingdom people that worship. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. And we go out on mission because worship of the true God doesn't exist in all places. So we invite people to come and say, here I am to bow down. Here I am to worship. Be a people on mission. And how does this relate to Joshua? How does it relate to us? So in a time of transition, we need to ask questions like, what is the Holy Spirit doing? What is God doing in this moment, in this context? Because Joshua is following the same God as Moses in a different situation. He wasn't going to lead exactly the way Moses did. Because you know what would happen if he led exactly the way Moses did? They'd wander in the desert another 40 years, okay? So there were some things that need to change. Same God, same principles, rely on God, stay on mission. But it's not always the same. And my experience in the American church, which I know that the best of all the churches, we often think the best days are behind us. Remember when we used to do this, and we used to do it this way, and we would do it this way. And some of those, you know, you look and go, yeah, you know what? That might be something to bring back. But a lot of that It's a different context. It's a different culture. All right? We're not going to step here with the flannel graph, all right? No offense if you do that. But sometimes we think the best days are behind us. Revelation 21 tells me the best days are ahead of us. Okay? They're in front of us. And it might be a struggle. It will be a struggle. All right? But the best days are coming. The church. We forget who we are. We forget who we are. And we need to be reminded that we belong to another kingdom. Who are we? We are missionaries. We are ambassadors for the kingdom of God. We need to keep going back to that. We need to know who we are. Joshua understood that. He was told in verse 2, he was going to have success in the land that God was giving him. So he knew something. He knew something from the beginning that this was bigger than his individual success. It was about establishing God's kingdom, his purposes in the world, which begs the question, what are you living for? What are you living for? I think a lot of what we're living for won't exist in the next 10 years, won't exist in the next 100 years. 1,000 years from now won't exist. Are we living for something bigger? Are we living for God's kingdom? Why live for something that's going to fade? I'm not saying some of those things aren't important, okay? But live for something eternal. In verse 3, God says to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon you, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. So let's go back to the promise, which is in verse 6, where he says, be strong, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Who are the fathers? That's Abraham. That's Isaac. That's Jacob. There's this unfolding story where God is going to bless all the world through Abraham. Now, could you imagine this? God meets with Abraham, and he says, I'm going to make you a great nation. And in that nation, all the nations of the earth, all people will be blessed. You are blessed to be a blessing. Could you imagine if Abraham just took all that and said, okay, I received that promise. I receive your blessing. And then he didn't go out to bless others. He didn't go out to serve. Now, most of you are like, that's ridiculous. I mean, he's not going to hear that promise and say, okay, this applies to me. It doesn't apply to the whole world. And I think, is it really that ridiculous? How many times do we read the Bibles, our Bible, and go, okay, this is about me. This is my personal success. This is what God's going to do. And I have this great relationship, and it's me and God on a motorcycle, and we're together. And I'm like, no, it's a little bit bigger than that. In fact, it's a lot bigger than that. And when I see that where churches say, okay, this is the promise to us. This is the promise. It's bigger than the promises to Hope Community Church. All right? God's church is bigger than us. And unfortunately, sometimes we settle for something that's almost Christian. It's got all the Christianese attached to it, but it doesn't have the way of Jesus. And he says, verse 7, he says, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. And I think when we see this, do you ever see things that God says to do and you go, I don't know how I'm going to do that? I mean, he tells you to love your enemies. Anybody really good at loving your enemies? Okay. No hands whatsoever. Okay, so there are things that God tells us to do where you say, okay, God, I need you to do something supernaturally in me for this to happen. In this case, we need supernatural courage. And the courage doesn't mean like you're unaware of things. I mean, there were several times, you know, this week I'm like, if that car moves another inch, we go off this cliff here. And it doesn't mean I'm not aware of those things, but it's one of those where it's like, okay, God, you're good. You're good, and I'm going to trust you in this. And hey, can you scoot over a foot too? But be people of courage. Be people of courage. And let me be clear what I'm not saying. Don't be arrogant or rude. I think sometimes when I say be courageous, it's like we're going to go in and kick down doors. Be courageous that God will fulfill his purposes in his ways. That you go back to that and you say, God, no matter what happens today, no matter what happens next week, God, you are faithful to your promises. And where do we find those promises? In the scriptures. Joshua was told to meditate on it day and night. So if you don't know the plan, you know what happens when I don't know the plan and I don't repeat that, I get distracted with another plan. It's got similar language, but it takes me in a different direction. And I feel as though this is my own experience. I feel like the name of Jesus is very popular, but the way of Jesus isn't so. The name of Jesus is very popular today, but living the way that Jesus lived is a different story. And I think this, don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left, is an appropriate warning to the church today to stay focused on Jesus. Stay focused on his kingdom. Be people that are united in Jesus. What are we about? We're about Jesus. And be people of the book. He says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. We should be speaking these words. And you shall meditate on it day and night. That's not just read, that's meditate. That's chewing on it and thinking about it and pondering and saying, what does this mean for me and my life? What does that mean for us as a people? So that you may be careful. And we need to think about that when we're going to wander over here. We need to look out. When I was in Liberia, I was trying to think of an illustration to warn people about going in different directions. And I pointed, I said, if I walked in this church, do you guys see where you have that thing here? What would you say if you saw me just walking? You'd say, watch out, right? You'd say, look out. Danger. Okay? And the church, we need to be careful to do what the word of God says. He says, for then I will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. The Bible is the one place that I know that God has spoken and I can go back. And when I meditate on it, I begin to hear the voice of God. How many of you have, like, you could say, I have a friend, I have a sibling where they could call me on a different phone. So even caller ID comes up and it says unknown, which you're not going to answer anyways. But let's say you answered that. And that friend, that sibling said hello. How many of you say, I know somebody and I would know exactly who that is? Okay? You know that. Why? Because you have heard that voice. 6 million voices, 6 billion plus people in the world. And you know that voice distinctively from every other voice on the planet. Go back to God's word. Go back to God's word. Because there's times where people will say to me, hey, the Holy Spirit is telling me this. Well, that's weird. I'll chew on that for a little bit. If it doesn't taste right, I'm going to spit it out. But what happens is I begin to hear God's voice because I read those scriptures and I hear that. I hear the Holy Spirit speak and I say, okay, I know that voice. It lines up. I know that voice distinctively from every other voice on the planet. Okay, we need to be a people of prayer. It's fascinating because God said to Joshua, he says, you're going to come to me, you're going to seek me, you're going to seek my face, and then I'm going to tell you what to do. And when I tell you to cross the river, whether it's flowing or not, you cross the river. And you go, yeah, but there's water going. And I could tell you, testimony, you talk to some people who have been around, there have been times where it's like, it feels like we're going to step into water. And then we said, okay, God, and we stepped on dry land. All right? And then there's this, if God tells you to march around Jericho and blow some trumpets, that's what you're going to do. And I'll just be real honest with you. We're sitting outside of Jericho, and somebody goes, I heard this from God. We're going to march around a couple days, and at some point we're going to blow some trumpets, and then the walls are going to fall down. Okay, thanks for sharing. Anybody else have a reasonable idea on how we're going to do this? All right? Okay, God doesn't always work the way we want. All right? In the way that we think. And we need to go back to God again and again. I've had people come to me and they say, hey, I've got this problem, Pastor. And I say, have you prayed about it? And they're like, well, do you think it's that bad? I'm like, I don't know. You came to see me. Have you prayed about this? And James says, you have not because you ask not. Which is really weird, because some people will go, well, if God already knows what I want, why do I ask him for that? Well, guess what? He wants to have a relationship with you. You know that sometimes, like your kids come and you're like, yep, I know what they're going to ask for. They just saw this thing and they're going to ask if they can have it. All right, you already know that, but you're going to entertain that. But then there's another thing. There's listening to God. I think sometimes we forget that in prayer. We say, okay, God, here's what I need. Here's what I want to happen. Here's my plan. Bless that in Jesus' name. Amen. And we never take time to be still and know that he's God. To be still and say, okay, God, here's what we're thinking. Here's what's on our heart. What do you want to do? And we begin to hear God. And remember, you hear his voice over and over again. You start to go, okay, that sounds like God. I believe that's God. I'm hearing his voice. And he says in that, particularly this promise here, is that Joshua was going to have success when he heard God's voice and he obeyed it. And by the way, success doesn't always look the way we want it to look. I mean, how many of you have had this very experience? Where you're like, God, I want you to do this thing. And you're praying and you're praying and he doesn't do it. And then 5 years later, you go, God, thank you so much that you didn't do that thing. And anybody? Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. God's bigger than all of us, all right? We need to discover where he's working. We need to identify with, we need to be a people that identify with God. So in Joshua chapter 5, they have the Passover meal and they have circumcision, and the sign in the Old Testament was circumcision. In the New Testament, it's circumcision of the heart. It's God transforming our heart. And here at Hope Community Church, we baptize people that share a testimony that say, hey, I placed my faith in Jesus. God's begun to do this work in my heart. He's transforming. He's continuing to transform that heart. And so we say, okay, let's baptize you. And then we're painting a picture to the world that says, hey, I identify with Jesus. And we put him under the water. We say, we have died to sin. We've died to the idols of this world. We've died to that. And just as Jesus rose again, we let him up out of the water. And we let him come up, symbolizing, hey, I am living a new way. There's a new life. There's something new about me. And we need to continue to identify with Jesus. And I think sometimes we just kind of point back and we go, yeah, I did that. And I want to suggest we probably should live a baptismal life. And what I mean by that is not get dunked under the water every day, but on a daily basis, say, I die to sin and I rise new with Jesus. I rise new as a new kingdom person, as somebody's heart that is being transformed by God. So it's not just ceremony, but it's a life action. It's a way that we live. One last passage, and I'll close relatively speaking on this. It says in verse 14, he says, now therefore, because of everything I told you, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the rivers and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And he says, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, he says, choose this day. He says, go make a choice. You're walking on this fence. He says, make a choice. What side are you on? Whose king are you under? Make a choice. Make a deliberate choice. Is it the gods that your father served? Is it the idols of this country or that country? Is it the god of the Amorites in the land that you dwell? Who are you going to serve? And he makes a very clear declaration. He says, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's saying, I've made my decision, but each one of us, we need to make that decision. And I want to invite you today. Think about your own life and what you serve and what you follow to make a choice. Am I going to serve the gods of the people around me? Or am I going to serve the living God? Am I going to follow Jesus Christ? Am I going to identify myself with him? And let me say this, because sometimes we do things, like I said, like the baptism, or we say, okay, I was in church on Sunday and I made that decision. Do yourself a favor. If you're going to choose to follow, make that decision tomorrow morning also. When you wake up, say, Lord, today I choose not to follow these other gods. I'm going to put away these other gods. And I will follow you today. I will follow Jesus, whatever you have. I will face whatever I have to face today courageously because you are with me, Lord Jesus. Let me pray. Lord God, I pray that each person here would choose whatever idols, whatever gods they serve, they would choose to put those away. And that today they would proclaim that, Lord Jesus, you are King. You're King of my heart. You're King of my life. You're King of the universe. I receive you as Lord and Savior, and I seek to follow you all the days of my life. Lord God, have your way with your people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.